This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. About one-fifth of all Americans have hearing loss by the time they turn 30. That's according to an estimate from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So what's going on, and what technology and treatments are available to help? Joining me now to address those questions are University of Cincinnati Division Director of Neurotology, Dr. Daniel Sun. Thanks for being here, Dr. Sun.
Thanks a lot for having me.
And Wired technology journalist Christopher Null. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, Lucy.
UC is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Dr. Sun, a study conducted by researchers at Cincinnati Children's several years ago found a significant number of millennials, these are people who were in their 20s at the time, with hearing loss. What's going on? Are more younger people experiencing hearing loss these days?
I think what's really interesting about that study is that it found that there's hearing beyond our normal range that's really important for everyday hearing in terms of understanding speech and conversation and noise. So that's what that study was addressing. It showed that if we actually tested people outside their normal range, a lot of people may actually have hearing loss that's not otherwise detectable.
Is that why hearing loss can go undetected for so long before people do anything about it, do you think?
Yeah, exactly. So our hearing works kind of like the keys on a piano. Hearing loss starts on the right side and slowly works itself towards the left side, towards the bass sounds. So the very first things that can be detected, such as that study, are the very, very right-hand side keys of the piano. And then eventually it works itself more and more towards the middle and then the left, and that's when it becomes more noticeable to everyday folks.
Are younger people, Dr. Sun, changing perceptions about hearing loss and ways to address it or the technology they can use for it?
You know, that's really interesting. I think the jury is still probably out and the story yet to be fully written. It's certainly our hope that the stigma that used to be attached to wearing hearing aids and having hearing assistive devices are, you know, falling by the wayside, especially with the prevalence of all the consumer technologies out there nowadays that go in our ears.
Yeah. What do you think, Chris? Do you think younger people are more willing to try some kind of new technology that or some hearing technology that maybe their parents or grandparents weren't as excited to use?
I think they are. And like we just heard, those new devices are really changing the perception of what a hearing aid is. You no longer have to have this device that sits behind your ear with a wire snaking into it. My son recently this weekend just told me, you know, Dad, I think I'm losing my hearing a little bit. And I said, yeah, maybe you need to start looking at hearing aids. He's 18 years old. It's something that I think young people are waking up to and realizing, just like they are all sorts of social and medical issues.
And Chris, do you think young people are more receptive? I mean, you mentioned these new devices. Was your son worried when you said maybe you should look at hearing aids, or was he on board with that idea?
I think he's on board in part because he already has one. You know, this news that Apple just launched AirPods with hearing aid support just this week is something he already has in his pocket. He can download an operating system update to his iPhone and be using hearing aids within about 15 minutes. He already wears the AirPods all day long anyway, so why not try them out as hearing aids? I think he's ready for that.
Yeah, and I know you've tried them out yourself, Chris. What did you think of that technology?
Yeah, so I've been reviewing over-the-counter hearing aids and prescription hearing aids for about 3 years for Wired. I've been using the AirPods for about a month. At a $200 to $250 price point, they're pretty much amazing. They're not, you know, world-class hearing aids that you can get and that you would have to spend four figures for, but they really do a great job, and they're just very easy to use. That's one of the biggest obstacles people have with hearing aids is they're clumsy, they're cumbersome, they're hard to put on and off, they're uncomfortable, and people just never acclimate to them. When you have a hearing aid that doubles as an earbud, and Apple's not the only one that does this, it's very easy to slip them on and off, put them on only when you need them, pop them back in the case, slip them in your pocket, and, you know, not have to worry about carting around a multi-thousand-dollar product that you might lose on the bus.
Dr. Sun, are you familiar with these AirPods or other products like that, kind of over-the-counter products that are being used as hearing aids? How effective do you think they are?
Yeah, so it's a fairly recent phenomenon, and it's really, I think, a great public health effort in terms of getting hearing aids into the hands of people that need them. But I think it's important to keep in mind that there are different types of hearing loss and different severities of hearing loss. So over-the-counter hearing aids right now are only approved for individuals with mild to moderate hearing loss of a specific type. So it's still important to keep in mind to, you know, check with an audiologist or a physician, you know, if the hearing loss is more severe or if it's happening at a younger age, you know, to get an actual hearing test to determine what may actually be going on.
Is it comparable to buying readers at the drugstore if you just need a little eye, you know, help versus vision help as opposed to going to an optometrist and really getting prescription glasses? Is it kind of that same sort of deal?
Right. That's a great analogy, you know, and I think there's some interesting marketing aspects in terms of the over-the-counter hearing aid industry, in terms of pharmacy stores and things like reader glasses. But also, you know, one thing we always counsel patients about is it's never normal to have different hearing between the 2 years. Mm. So whatever's going on, you know, it should be the same in 2 years if we think of normal aging. Mm-hmm. So if there's, you know, differences in hearing between the 2 years, other symptoms, you know, that's definitely when we should consider getting an actual hearing test.
We're talking about hearing loss among younger people and the technology and treatments available to help. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Dr. Sun, you've been doing some interesting research on nanoparticles to help with hearing loss. Tell us a little bit about that and what that could mean for treating hearing loss.
Yeah, what's really interesting, I think, is they're actually isn't a treatment per se for hearing loss. You know, there are really no FDA-approved medications that's specifically geared towards, you know, reversing the age-related hearing loss that, you know, we all get. And one of the challenges there is not being able to get the right medications into the right place, because it turns out the ear is a very challenging place to get medications into. So one of the things my team is working on is looking at nanoparticle technologies to try to get, you know, some of the more exciting newer medications coming down the pipeline into the ears in a more effective way and avoiding, you know, some side effects.
So you can kind of steer the medication where you need it to go more effectively.
Exactly.
Oh, that's fascinating. Chris, for so many people, the cost of traditional hearing aids, the many thousand-dollar devices you were talking about before, and lack of insurance coverage for those has been a big barrier. Do you think these new over-the-counter products are changing that?
It's been a huge barrier. There's an aphorism that a hearing aid is commonly the third most expensive single purchase a person will make in their life after a home and a car. And for many years, that was true. Hearing aids, as recently as 3 years ago, would cost $6,000 to $10,000. Today, you can get a very high quality hearing aid for about $800 to $1,000, thanks to the FDA's rules that were passed in 2022, making over-the-counter hearing aids legal. So absolutely, we're seeing just a major shakeup in the market and the democratization of the hearing aid space, thanks to OTC hearing. Also, it's been shown now in new studies, which are testing prescription hearing aids versus over-the-counter aids, that they are equally effective. Absolutely, as Dr. Sun said, you need to get a hearing test and you need to be diagnosed. But if you have mild to moderate hearing loss, you can definitely get by with a hearing aid that costs under $1,000 and sometimes much less.
Hmm. Interesting. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Yeah, I'm in my 60s. I definitely have a hearing loss from being in construction most of my adult life. I also have tinnitus. I went to a hearing specialist and went through the whole audio proof booth and all that kind of stuff, and he flipped the switch and my tinnitus went away. It was great. I had the first time I've heard total silence in a long time. But to get that feature on my hearing aid, it put me way out of my insurance wouldn't cover it, and it put me way out of my budget.
Mm. So are you wondering if there are other kind of over-the-counter technologies or other devices that could help with that that aren't so expensive?
Yeah. I guess that's what I'm asking. I'm pretty sure there's not, but just...
Yeah, it's a great question. What about that, Dr. Sun? Tinnitus is something that just is such a problem for so many people. Are there other remedies for that that can help or that are lower cost than what Jeff has encountered that you know of?
Yeah, it's a really tough issue. Tinnitus is actually something that happens in the brain for the majority of people with hearing loss. It's essentially the brain's response to the change in hearing in their ear. So it's very tough to address. Like the caller indicated, some hearing aids have a great sort of tinnitus suppression feature. There's also other evidence-based approaches like sound therapy or cognitive behavioral therapy. There is actually a new lineup of tinnitus devices that's been, recently FDA approved and coming onto the commercial market. I don't know if they're any less expensive than hearing aids, though, just because it's a market with such huge demand right now.
Sure, yeah. Well, thanks for that call, Jeff, and that great question. We'll hope something less expensive that actually works comes on the market. Dr. Sun, Chris was just mentioning the federal government paved the way for these over-the-counter hearing aid sales. What does that mean for the types of devices that are available? I would imagine there are some that work well, and there are others that don't. So how can people make sense of that? What is the range of products that are available right now?
Yeah, so actually, even before the FDA approval, there were already over-the-counter amplifiers that were available. It's just that, those were a little bit more simplistic and didn't really tend to be able to help a lot of people. And the hope is that with the new FDA ruling, more sophisticated devices will be available for those, meeting criteria for them. But I think the story is yet to be written in terms of how widely adopted they will be and sort of how well accepted they will be, especially for individuals that, may have more severe forms of hearing loss, maybe more at the upper ranges of those devices.
Yeah. Chris, you mentioned you've been reviewing a lot of different products for Wired over the past few years. Have you found some inexpensive options that are just junk?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of those on the market. The old saying, you get what you pay for, is true to some extent in hearing aids as well. And there are hearing aids that are FDA approved and they're, the whole ball of wax, but that cost under $100. They aren't very effective. They're uncomfortable. They don't look very good. That's a large part of what I do at Wired. And I test these products personally for often weeks at a time, report my experiences about how they sound and how they look and how they fit. I think any consumer really needs to really, really research the product before they jump in. The good news is that most hearing aid companies have very generous returns policies now. So if a hearing aid doesn't work for you, definitely don't be shy about sending it back.
Dr. Sun, we were talking before about these Apple AirPods and other, headphones and earbuds and things that people can use or might be able to use to amplify their hearing. I guess so many people are using those all the time. Is there any evidence that those are causing problems with hearing? I mean, is there any kind of relationship there?
Yeah, that's a really great question, Lucy. So we used to think that, as long as we keep the volume low and as long as we don't damage our ears, things are okay. So it turns out that that's not the complete story. While we always want to keep the noise to a minimum and the sound volume to a minimum, it turns out that there is something called hidden hearing loss, where, when we measure individuals with a hearing test, the hearing actually has not changed. But the noise damage, when we look at the cells inside the ears, the noise damage has caused damage to those cells. And we think that that's one mechanism where we may have a normal hearing test, but say, I really just have more trouble hearing than I did before.
And the idea is that headphones have contributed to that? These earbuds that you put in your ears maybe are contributing to that?
Well, I think it's more just the need to be aware of the volume that we're listening at. You know, that if we wear something in the ear or even over the ear, that we still keep volume to, you know, to a minimum.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. We have another caller on the line. Hi, Don. Thanks for your call. What's your question?
Hi, thanks for taking it. I'm 39 years old, and I have what I consider to be very good hearing until I'm exposed to, like, loud environments where there's a lot of people in the room talking or a sporting event or something like that. And then I have a lot of difficulty just understanding. My wife constantly urged me to go to the doctor, so I did, and they gave me the same test that other people described, and the doc said my hearing's perfect. But in that environment where the testing's taking place, it's completely silent, and I have no issues with that type of environment hearing things. It's just like I said, when I'm exposed to loud environments, then I have a lot of difficulty hearing. I'm not exactly sure what to do about that.
Interesting. That sounds very much like the study that Children's Hospital did. Dr. Sun, do you have any advice for Don?
Yeah, exactly, Lucy. You know, the study you first mentioned was a study that looked at exactly this issue, that found that we can lose hearing beyond what's normally tested. So it's not detected, but it can affect our hearing and noise. The hidden hearing loss I mentioned in terms of changes inside the inner ear that's also not detected on normal hearing test could also affect our hearing and noise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and finally, you know, hearing is more than our ears. Hearing is also how our brain is working to interpret that sound. And that's, you know, a black box still in terms of how we can test and measure that.
So is there help for somebody like Don who recognizes that, hey, the traditional hearing test says my hearing's perfect, but I know I'm having a problem in these noisy environments?
Yeah, it's a very common but, you know, tough issue because it's not something that things like hearing aids can readily address. You know, what we usually tell individuals is that it becomes doubly important to really protect their ears so that no further damage happens. And then, you know, there's starting to be more and more research in terms of different ways to train our brain to work better in noise also.
Okay. Well, Don, I'm sorry we don't have a magic solution for you, but it's tell your wife she's right. Thanks for calling. So is there, in terms of this hidden hearing loss, Dr. Sun, is there any evidence that headphones are better than earbuds, or are they both bad? I guess I wonder, you know, we all work in such, many of us work in very noisy environments, so it's very tempting to put something on your ears to listen to music or just block out some of the noise around you. Is there a safer option there?
It's more about the volume of sound rather than how the sound is delivered.
Okay.
You know, our ear is gets damaged by sound that's too loud.
Mm.
And that damage is actually not reversible. So it's always permanent.
Mm.
So, you know, we always urge people to be extra cautious.
Okay. Chris, we talked about the Apple the earbuds that Apple has that people are using. Do you expect a lot of other companies to kind of follow that lead and come up with this software that people can use to transform their earbuds into hearing help?
Yeah, the Apple move to take an existing product and turn it into a hearing aid is unique. I haven't ever seen anyone do that before, and I'm not sure that it will happen again, but there are a lot of similar products that look like earbuds. They work like earbuds and can move into a hearing aid mode that are on the market, and they're made by our major audio manufacturers. So I think what we'll probably see is more and more of those kind of products where it's a double duty product from the start. I just don't think anyone else has the kind of market share that Apple has and presence for AirPods that can pull that kind of trick off. Mm. And a lot of that is done in the operating system of your phone, not on the product itself. So they have that going for them too.
Sure. Okay, well, plenty of territory we've covered today. I've been talking with University of Cincinnati Division Director of Neurontology, Dr. Daniel Sun, and Wired Technology Journalist, Christopher Null. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thanks so much, Lucy.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Stephen Baum. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.